כתב שיש מזכות ורפוא שלהם לפי יוסף חיים יסחר בן חיים מושקת. We've been focusing most of this year on some of the principles of Malacha Shabbos. So in the process, we also discussed a little bit of how Shabbos relates to Yom Tov, some of the slight nuances of differences between the definition of Malacha and Shabbos, vis-a-vis the definition of Malacha and Yom Tov. Then there's a third category of Halacha that we bump into that we're not really going to speak about tonight. That's the category of Malacha and Chol HaMoed. So that's a whole topic in and of itself. How does Malacha and Chol HaMoed play out in terms of Shabbos and Yom Tov hierarchy? So we're going to talk about the fourth category of Malacha. There's one other day in the year where we find an Issa Malacha, which is not quite the status of Shabbos, not quite the status of Yom Tov, nay, close to Chol HaMoed, and that's the status of Erev Pesach. There's a unique status of an Issa Malacha on Erev Pesach, so I thought we'd try to take a little bit of an understanding to understand some of the parameters of this Issa, what exactly is the reason for this Issa, what's the source of this Issa, what's it all about, the Issa of not doing Malacha on Erev Pesach. So the first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Maseches Pesachim introduces to us this idea of not doing Malacha on Erev Pesach, and draws a distinction between before Chatzos versus after Chatzos. Before Chatzos is not really Asa, the Mishnah says. It's only Tali B'Minig HaMakom. Depending on if a person lives in a community where the Minig is to permit Malacha, then one is permitted to do Malacha in the morning. If one lives in a community where one doesn't do Malacha, then one is not permitted to do Malacha. It's in this context, that's the name of the parak, Makom Shenagu, that the Mishnah and the Gemara begins to discuss all the halachas in terms of minhagim, all the rules that we have, all the different parameters in terms of when is a person bound by the minhag hamakom, and when does a person take on the minhagim of a place where he left and he moved, etc. So this is all based on the first daf in the fourth parak of Pesachim. The basic rule is that a person is bound by the minhagim of the places, chumrei hamakom sheyotze misham v'chumrei hamakom shebo lasham. The person has to take the chumras of both. He has to take the chumras of the place where he came from, as well as the chumras of the place that he's now in, assuming he hasn't actually moved to the new place. If he actually moves to the new place, then he no longer is subject to the chumras of the previous place. Again, so the Gemara developed for the Kvalim, specifically revolving around this minhag of not doing malacha. But it's clear from the Mishnah that the whole discussion of being mitoras minhag is only the first half, until Chatzos. After Chatzos, then everything changes. After Chatzos, then one is not permitted to do Malacha Mi'ikra Din, then it's no longer subject to Minig HaMachom. Then the Halacha is not a Minig anymore, then it's Mi'ikra Din, one is not permitted to do Malacha after Chatzos. So the question is, why not? What is that based on exactly? Why are you not allowed to do Malacha after Chatzos? So Rashi, in the beginning of the parak, comments that he thinks the reason is based on the fact that Chazal wanted to make sure that a person has all his Yom Tov needs taken care of. Erev Pesach is a busy day. A lot of things you got to take care of. So you got to burn chametz. You know, different shittas. When exactly you're burning the chametz? Before Chatzos, after Chatzos, in the morning, early morning, late morning, whatever it is. But you got to make sure you get rid of your chametz. Then you have to make sure that you're baking your matzahs. Again, most people today aren't baking matzahs Erev Pesach in the afternoon, unless you're some chassidim still have that practice today. But in the days of the Rishonim, it was common to bake matzahs on Erev Pesach. They would even make matzahs on Pesach itself. So that would be unheard of in today's world. But you have to make sure you're baking your matzahs. Make sure you're in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, make sure you cover Pesach, taking care of a lot of things to do. So the guy's going to be working Erev Pesach, he's going to come home huffing and puffing from the office at the 6 o'clock tonight. That's going to interfere with all the Tzorachei Yom. So therefore, according to Rashi, the Chacham made a special takana that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon in order to ensure that everybody takes care of their Yom Tov needs properly. In theory, they could have made the same as Erev Sukkot also, but Lamaisa has less to do with Erev Sukkot. So Erev Pesach has the most things to do, therefore the Chacham made this Issur. And Taisus disagrees with Rashi. Taisus quotes based on Yerushalmi that the reason why you're not allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon has nothing to do with getting ready for Yom Tov. Rather, it has to do with the fact that that's the Zman of the Korban Pesach. Since the mitzvah in the Torah, Zman Shem Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, was to offer Korban Pesach, and the Zman of Pesach is after Chatzos. The Pesach says in Parshas Bo, V'shach to Kol Kalad Asiyo Bein HaRabayim. You have to shech the Korban Pesach Bein HaRabayim. What does Bein HaRabayim mean? So Erev means when the sun is starting to set. So Bein HaRabayim, what does it mean? When the sun is two sets, how many times does the sun set? So what does the term Bein HaRabayim in plural mean? So that's what the Gemara says in the beginning of the fifth parak of Pesachim. What it means is as follows, that right after Chatzos, so the sun begins to set. At Chatzos, it's right smack in the middle of the sky, so it starts to dip to the west. A second after Chatzos. It doesn't complete that until the very end of the day, when it sets, when it goes under the horizon, and that's the end of Bein HaRabayim. So when the Torah says you have to shet the Korban Pesach ben harbayim, it means you have to shet the Korban Pesach sometime between the beginning of the setting of the sun, i.e. a second after Chatzos, and the end of the setting of the sun, i.e. when it actually sets, what we call today Shkia. Sometime, that's a long period of time, six solid hours, when you have the option of doing a shechit the Korban Pesach. So, Lamaisa, they never shechted the Korban Pesach so early in the day, because first you have to bring the Korban Tumin. So it takes time until you bring the Korban Tumin, then you get around to bringing the Korban Pesach. So the whole sugya in the beginning of the fifth Perek Pesach describes how they would push off the Korban Pesach and push off the Korban Tumin. They wanted people to have time to bring other Korbanos. So a lot of complications as to precisely when they would actually literally bring the Korban Pesach. But bottom line is, you can, technically speaking, in the Torah, you can bring it any time after Chatzos. That's why, in fact, there's an Isra Chilav Chametz after Chatzos for the same reason. The Torah says, well, Sochel Lav Chametz, you are not allowed to eat Chametz at the time of the Shechitas Korban Pesach. So, bottom line, Pesach says, is that since, in theory, you can bring the Korban Pesach from the second after Chatzos, the Yerushalmi tells us that whenever you bring a Korban, so there's an Isra Malach on that day. It sounds from the Yerushalmi that this is a real Din Min HaTorah, that whenever you bring a Korban, it's a happy day. It's a Yom Tzachag. So since everybody's supposed to be bringing a Korban Pesach on this time, it's considered to be Asa B'Malacham. So Tosfos says that was true B'Zman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. So then there was a real Issa B'Malacham Ikra Din. Whenever you bring a Korban, B'Zman HaMikdash, you have to be Shebeis HaMalacham on that day. Now B'Zman HaZeh, Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So Chazal kept the Din going as a Zeichel HaMikdash. So Chazal instituted that even B'Zman HaZeh, in the absence of a Korban, we still have to make believe that there's an Issa B'Malacham. And that's what we refrain from Malacha on our pace for the afternoon. And then a minute developed to refrain even in the morning. But that's again an extension of the original halacha. The original halacha was only after chatzos. So it comes out according to Tosfos that this is a real din min haTorah. This is a real halacha. This is not just a gezeira mid the rabbanon, lest you're not ready for your abduf. This seems to be a real bona fide ism halacha on a level of diaraisa. Minas kamin ladina between Rashi and Tosfos. At the end of the day, you can't do malacha after chatzos. So who cares what the reason is? To make sure that you get ready for Yom Tov, or whether it has anything to do with the Korban Pesach. So the Achvarim write that L'Chari there should be enough Gemina, the Vera Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Not like this year, but in the year when Vera Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So is there any remnant of this Issa Malacha? It's obviously on Shabbos, it's a Malacha anyway. But is there any Zeich, is there anything that's left of this Issa Malacha? So according to Tosfos, the answer is no. According to Tosfos, the whole Issa Malacha is part of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. If you're bringing the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, anyway, you're not doing Malacha. You're not doing Malacha for other reasons on Shabbos, hopefully. So what's Shach to speak about this Issa? The Issa is Bottle and the greater Issa of Chol Shabbos. But according to Rashi, maybe we can conceive of the following interesting Chumrah. That Lamaisa, when Erev Pesach pulls out on Shabbos, you can't do anything on Shabbos. The bottom line is you've got to get rid of your chametz basically from beforehand. A couple of crumbs from your challahs, you flush out the toilet. The basic beer chametz is done before. The baking of the matzahs you're going to do beforehand. The cleaning of the house, everything's going to be done before. It's going to be done on Friday. So according to Rashi, the same way Chazal were concerned that if a person comes home from work at 6 o'clock on Erev Pesach, he may not finish what has to be done, that same fear should carry over when to Friday. So when you have Erev Pesach, Shechali is B'Shabbos, so we should extend that Issa B'Malacha to Friday. So Yitzimu Nisan should be Issa B'Malacha after Chatzos. That's what some of the Chavarim write according to Rashi. That whatever the reason, that same reason that Issa B'Malacha on a regular Erev Pesach will Issa B'Malacha on an Erev Pesach when Erev Pesach falls out in Shabbos. According to Tosfos, that would be absurd. According to Tosfos, the Issa Malacha is only to do with the Korban Pesach. If you're not offering the Korban Pesach on Friday, why should you refrain from Malacha on Friday? This idea that the Issa Malacha, according to Tosfos, is a real bona fide Issa, it's a mamash and Issa min haTorah, so from the Mishnah stuff you can't tell that, but Tosfos quotes the Rishalmi, that pretty much seems to suggest that idea. The Rishalmi asks the question on itself. The Rishalmi says, you're really not allowed to do Malacha because you're bringing a Korban, is that true? Every day you bring a Korban, you're not allowed to do Malacha, really? Rishalmi, yes, if that's so, so then nobody should ever be able to do Malacha, because we all bring a Korban every day. We bring a Korban Talmud. A person chips in for Machzor HaShekel. So the Machzor HaShekel is pays for the Korbanos to meet him. So the Korban Talmud is bought from the money of Klal Yisrael. So each person is offering a Korban every single day. We're offering two Korbanos every day. The Talmud in the morning and the Talmud in the afternoon. So effect Rishalmi Akasha, if so, there should be an Issa Malacha all the time. That's the Havdin of Rishalmi. Rishalmi gives an answer. Well, it's okay. Hang in there. There is an answer to the question. But Rishalmi suggests an interesting havamina that maybe it should be Nisa Malacha because what are you going to do? You bring your Korban that day. So the Rishalmi says no. The Rishalmi says that the Korban Tumid is an exception to the rule because the Torah says, we are stopped at the Ganecha. The Torah says, you're not going to work. The Torah describes people going to work. So says Rishavi, how can you say there's a nisim malacha? It's a joke. How can there be a nisim malacha? If the Torah itself says you're stopped to ganecha, you got to work. So what should I have to speak about a nisim malacha? So the truth is, there was a machlekes at Tanaim. We spoke about this in the past. There was a machlekes between Rabbi Shumba Yechoyim, Rabbi Yishmael, how to understand Shad and that pasuk you're stopped to ganecha. So Rabbi Yishmael said that the pasuk is kapshuta. The Torah is saying that if you have a hayom shemotish bo mitzvah, if you do the mitzvahs, Kodesh Baruch will give you a big brachas. The big brachas will be you'll go to work and you'll make a good panasa and you'll have a good harvest and you'll have a lot of food. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk is describing what's supposed to happen. It's describing osim mitzvah shalom. Klai Yisrael are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Vayim shemotish bo mitzvah, and they're going to go to work. That's Rabbi Yishmael's reading of the pasuk. And Rabbi Shumba Yochai responded to Rabbi Shmuel. Mark quotes it in Menachos at Tzadikas. Rabbi Shumba Yochai said, "What? Yisaf Ganecha? That's not a good thing." Says Rabbi Shimon. Said, "How can you expect the guy to know Yisaf Ganecha? Adam Zareh b'Shazriya, v'Koytze b'Shaz Ketivra, v'Dosh Dosh b'Shaz Disha. Heard about the Elul? How could the Torah be advocating such a lifestyle? A person's going to go to work all day. He's going to work Yom V'Layla in the fields and harvesting. Says, when is he ever going to learn Torah? So it must be," says Rabbi Shumba Yochai, "this pasuk is not really a tremendous bracha. This pasuk is describing." Nebuch, you have to go this up to Ganecha. But in the perfect world, Shema Yechai says, so the Parnas will come from all the places, but the Asab to Ganecha is not really a bracha. So why? What do you mean it's not a bracha? The Pasuk says, well, Yom Shemodish Mormitzvah, we say it twice in Krishma. It's a very good thing. So the answer is, it's not perfect. It means it's not bad. It means the person's not a Russia. If Christ is doing a virus, then Chalila the Chalila, the Adam Alositan Shivula, the Vadat the Meir, that's going to be really bad. And if people are okay, they do the mitzvahs, but they're not so great, then okay, then there's something in Echa. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the highest of the highest is going to be, Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide the Parnas in some other shape or form. So that's a fascinating machlokes. Goes way beyond just the technical words of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. One can imagine there's a lot to discuss about that and in many, many different contexts, but we're not going to talk about that now. But the bottom line is that there's something in Ganecha, and it's that we pass it. But the bottom line is the Torah does speak about the possibility of going to work. There's no question about it. Where it's a good thing, not a good thing, but the mindset of the Torah does accept it as something which is permissible. So if that's the case, that is permissible, the Yerushalmi has to leave this mitzvah to go to work. You brought a carbon tumah that day. How can you go to work? There's an issur malacha on a day to bring a carbon. So the Yerushalmi says, you see from here, the carbon tumah is different. You see from here, there's the cause of that carbon tumah is the exception to the rule. So you see from the fact that Rishami was bothered with the question, Rishami took this with seriousness, this question, and Rishami asked, how could you go to work? Take a blade, you bring your korban, and the Gemara, and Yerushalmi is a pasuk to be malami that it's mutter. You see that it's mamish in the Siddur Aisa. That the Yerushalmi said that the issur malacha on the day that you bring a korban is mamish bin a Torah. And he's a pasuk to be matter the issur malacha. So going back to the case of Erev Pesach, according to Tosfos, if you do malacha in Erev Pesach, you have to chatzos, that's an issur bin a Torah. Granted, bizman shabbes mikdash rekayim, if you live bizman hazeh, and you do malacha at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's not an issur Siddur Aisa, according to Tosfos, because on mice you're not bringing a korban. But bizman mikdash, if you did malacha in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, that would have to be in Issa Min HaTorah. It's interesting that the Shagasai quotes this Tosfos in a different context. We've quoted the Shagasai before. There is a very, very strange Gemara in Maseches Megillah when the Gemara discusses how many aliyahs you get in different days. It's the Gabbai's Gemara. It's how many aliyahs to give in any given day. So the basic rule is that we don't want to give too many aliyahs on a regular weekday. People got to go to work. People are in a rush. You know, as it is, now we got the big sign-up, so they save a few minutes. People are in a rush. The Chazal also working. So they want to make sure people got out of shul at the reasonable time. They got to work on time. So therefore, Chazal instituted only 3 aliyahs on a regular weekday. But let's say Cholamoid, many people are not working at Cholamoid. Even in the work you're allowed to do is very limited, the Rav, etc. So therefore they hiked up, they gave you another Aliyah. Then the Gemara continues in Megillah and says, in Yom Tif, no one's going to work. But Alpha Bichayim, people still got to go cooking, there's still things you can do in Yom Tif. So they hiked it up to 5 Aliyahs. And then Yom Kippur and Shabbos, you can't do anything, then they hiked it up even higher. So that's the Machlekes HaTanaim. Do you go 6 and 7, or 6 Aliyah, 7 Aliyah, 7 Aliyah, 6 Aliyah, those are the details in terms of Yom Kippur and Shabbos. But the progression of Aliyahs depends on how much time people have to stay in Shul. That's what the Gemara says. So there's one problem that the Gemara throws in, which seems to be a little bit of a monkey wrench into this equation. The Gemara says, what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh gets 4 Aliyahs. So the Gemara says, what? Everyone's going to work in Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, nah, no one's going to work in Rosh Chodesh. There's no problem with the Malacha because people are not really working in Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore you have the extra lias. We have extra time to daven Rosh Chodesh. So you don't have to start 6:45. You start at 7. No one's in a rush because no one's going to work. So the Rishonim asked, what do we know is going to work? Since when do we not go to work on Rosh Chodesh? So the Rishonim say, no, it's based on the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. There's a special yontif that was given for the women, so the women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. So the obvious question is, this is not, no one should take this out of context. It's not a women's meeting over here. It's not the women are a lady. We're giving the men aliyahs. The women are not in shul. So what is that up? The fact that the women are not going to work, so why does that give the men the right to stay in shul for longer? So that's the chronic of the bar of this kasha. Shagasai says he doesn't understand what Rashi and Taisa are talking about. Rashi and Taisa quote this Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, and that's the pshat in the Gemara. So Shagasai says he can't understand what they're talking about. He says, what is the fact that the women are not doing work? What does that have to do with the men staying in shul? So, Lefiyani is Zaiti, I think anyone who's has little kids involved in carpool in the morning knows the answer to this question. I said, the days when, I know for myself, the days when my wife is going to work, so it's a frenzy in the morning, gotta get home from shul quicker. And my wife happens not to be going to work that day, I know I can schmooze a little bit after davening a couple of minutes. So that's what Rashi and Taisa say, that the men are in less of a rush than the Chodesh, because they know that the women are not going anywhere. If the women are gonna be busy, they gotta start spitting and weaving and doing whatever they're doing in the house. I don't think Rashi and Taisa is the wives were going out to work that much, but whatever work they were doing in the house, so if they're not gonna be doing it, then there's more time, more relaxed, the men can stay in shul for an extra day, another nothing wrong. But the Shagasai didn't buy into that. The Shagasai says, no, he thinks the answer in the Gemara is like this, that there's an Issa Malach in Rosh Chodesh. Malach in Rosh Chodesh. Whoever heard of an Issa Malach in Rosh Chodesh? So says the Shagasai, yeah, there's an Issa Malach. You know what it is? You bring your Korban Musaf in Rosh Chodesh. There are Kabbalists that are brought on your behalf in Rosh Chodesh. So says the Shagasai, there's a Gezeiras HaKosu at the Asaf of the Ganecha that there can't be an Issa Malach all year long. That's impossible. The Torah says you're allowed to go to work, so the Korban Tomid doesn't create an Issa Malach to it. But it's only Gezeiras HaKosu that the Korban Tomid doesn't create an Issa Malach. The Korban Musaf does create an Issa Malach. So it might not mean that the Korban Musaf creates an Issa Malach. Anyway, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Malach. And anyway, in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do Malach. And anyway, in Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do Malach. So my Hari learned that the Korban Musaf creates an Issa Malach. There's only one other day of the year when you bring a Korban Musaf. It's 12 or 11 other days of the year. Rosh Chodesh. So on Rosh Chodesh, it's an Issa Malach of Bizman HaMikdash. So the Shagasai claims that Min HaTorah, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, it was an Issa Malach. It was Mamash like Chol HaMoed. It was like Chol HaMoed, Kwaza Yom Tov, you weren't allowed. It's like Erev Pesach, you have to Chatzos, Bizman HaMikdash. So now when Chazal extended that Isser of Korban Pesach, and said that you're not allowed to do malacha erev Pesach in the afternoon, so they could have extended the Rosh Chodesh Isser also, but they chose not to. They wanted to make it a little easier for us. It's hard enough to take off Yom Tov at Chol HaMoed and other days to explain to your boss every month you take it off another day for Rosh Chodesh. So that already Chazal is exerishing Tzibur Rechav Muhammad Ba. So they left it on the Din Derais. So if you live this Zman HaMikdash, then you have to observe Rosh Chodesh Mamash Min HaTorah. You're not allowed to do malacha Min Deraisa. If you don't live this Zman HaMikdash, so then there is no Issa malacha. So who instituted the four aliyahs? That was ready for the days of Ezra, the numbers of aliyahs. Ezra lived in Zman HaMikdash. So when Ezra made the original takana of Kriyas HaTorah, the takana was that on Rosh Chodesh, no one's going to work. Not the women. The men are not going to work. No one's going to work in Rosh Chodesh, in Zman HaMikdash. So the truth is that if you look in Tanakh, this idea seems to be very very well supported by many, many psukim. There are psukim in Tanakh that describe Rosh Chodesh, Mamshach Yom Tov, the days of Shaul and Dov. Everyone's having parties, everyone's sitting, everyone's taking vacation days, Dov is leaving town, he's going to visit his parents. Well, what's going on? It's a regular Tuesday morning. So the answer is, no, it wasn't a Tuesday morning. It was a Macha Chodesh, it was a Kwaza Yom Tov. Even though the truth is that it wasn't Mamash Bizman HaMikdash, there was no Beis HaMikdash in the days of David HaMelech, but there was still Bama Gedolah, there was still Kavanas Musaf that were being brought at that time, so it made sense that there was a quasi Yantar status. You find this in other places also, in the days of Elisha, when the Isha Shunamis comes, so her husband says, what are you running to go visit Elisha? The Chodesh, the Shabbos, it's not Rosh Chodesh today. So you get the impression that Rosh Chodesh was a Yom Tov, everyone was off. The Sukkim and Shayel, speaking of Tov, the Chodesh, the Chodesh, the Shabbos, the Shabbat. So Chodesh and Shabbos and Yom Tov all go lumped together throughout Tanakh. So Bizman HaZeh, it's hard for us to understand that Rosh Chodesh isn't so special today. Davening starts 15 minutes earlier, and then you daven Musaf and Shoyim. It's a regular business day. But Bizman HaMikdash, it was something special, because there was a Korban Musaf that was brought. So that idea, according to Tosfos, that we don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and the fact that according to the Shagasai, you didn't do Malacha in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh, that's the same Malacha. That the bringing of the Korban is a Mechayev of an Issa Malacha. It's based on this that the Mishnah Yaakov suggests maybe that's where the whole puzzle of the Issa Malacha Chol HaMoed fits in as well. It says, yeah, very, very strange idea about the Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So many seemingly contradictions. Whether there is an Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed, not an Issa Malacha in the Torah. You have Mishnayis and Mishnayis that discuss about not doing certain things on Chol HaMoed, and yet every other line in the Mishnah there's another heter. There's a Dover Ovid, and it's a Chirabim, and this, and every other line there's another heter. So how do you understand that? So you have two fundamentally different approaches in the Rishonim how to understand what Malachas Chol HaMoed is all about. So one approach in the Rishonim is that it's all Midrabanan, and it can't be Derais. That was Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. Rabbeinu Tam said it can't be Malachas Chol HaMoed is also Minatorah. Where do we find an Issa Minatorah with such bizarre parameters that sometimes it's Mutta, sometimes it's also, sometimes Mutta, sometimes also, if it's this, it's Mutta? Doesn't make any sense. The whole thing has to be Midrabanan. It was all instituted just to protect the Simchas Hayom, to make it a special day. But Minatorah, there's no such thing as Malachas Chol HaMoed. Malachas Chol HaMoed is totally Mutta Minatorah according to Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbi Tam disagreed with his older brother. His older brother, the Rashbam, said no. His brother, Rashbam, held that Malachas Chol HaMoed is mamish also min haTorah. So how could it be that some things are also, some things are mutter? So you gotta figure it out. You gotta work. The Ramban tries to work on other Rishonim trying to figure out how do we end up with these strange categories of some mutter, some also, if it's min haTorah. But you have two fundamentally different ideas in the Rishonim. Either Malachas Chol HaMoed is deraisa like the Rashbam, or it's the Rabbanon like Rabbi Tam. That's what the two brothers used to fight about during the Chol HaMoed trips. Just like my kids, when they're fighting, my kids fight, where do we go on Chol HaMoed? So they were fighting as the father was taking them to the, she go to Hershey Park, she go to a great adventure. So one was saying, no, it's Derais, and one was saying, it's Derabon. That was the hot topic at the shop table in Ramin Atam and the Rosh Bam's house. Yeah, Halavai, we should be there. Anyway, so the Mishkinos Yaakov, and one of his tshuvas, Mishkinos Yaakov was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So Mishkinos Yaakov, one of his tshuvas suggests a pshar, suggests a compromise. That maybe Malachas Chol HaMoed is sometimes min haTorah, maybe Malachas Chol HaMoed is sometimes min derabbanan. He said, which? How do you know when it's what? So he said, he thinks the answer is that whether you live bizman hamikdash or not. If you live bizman hamikdash, then it was deraisa. Why is it deraisa? Because you're bringing karbanas. You're coming to Alila Regel. You're bringing mamish private karbanas. So a Jew's coming to Alila Regel, if your mamish coming, you bring karbanas, how can there not be a malacha, an issa malacha min haTorah? But if you live shalom bizman hamikdash, if you're not coming to the base of mikdash today, then it's only min derabbanan. So the Mishkas Yaakov says, neither Rabbeinu Tam, nor Rashbam is necessarily muchach. There's a middle ground, that sometimes it's deraisa, sometimes it's derabbanan. That's what the Mishkas Yaakov explained, that we have a phenomenon that we refer to Chol HaMoed as a Mikra Kodesh. So that's a strange thing. Mikra Kodesh usually means Nisa Malacha. Those terms usually go hand in hand. Shabbos is a Mikra Kodesh. Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, those are Mikra Kodesh. And yet Chol HaMoed is also Mikra Kodesh. We say in the davening, in Musaf, it's a Betitel Hashem Elokeinu B'Avos, Chag Matzah, Mikra Kodesh. That's what it says in Shabbos. We call it a Mikra Kodesh. So says the Mishkas Yaakov, we call it a Mikra Kodesh only in Musaf, not in Shachras and Minchah Mayer. Why? In Yalaviyavo, when we refer to Chol HaMoed, we don't call it a Mikra Kodesh. Only in the bracha of Atit and Lano, Shulam Kem Yavo, in the bracha of Musaf. Why is that? So the Mishkas Yaakov said it makes a lot of sense, because in Musaf, what are we recreating in Musaf? We're recreating Aliyah LeRegel. If you look at the davening Musaf for Chol HaMoed, for Yom Tov, there are two parts. The first part speaks about the Tamidim Kesidim Musaf Gil Chosim, like the Musaf of Shabbos, speaks about the Korban Tamid, and it speaks about the Korban Musaf, and then we say the Pesukim of the Korban Musaf, and then we shift. Then we start speaking about Aliyah LeRegel. We speak about Shalosh Bam Bashani, Rokal Zechorcha, Bachagabatzah, Zechorcha, Ishkimat, Zechorcha. So we're emphasizing in a Musaf the role that the Beis Hamikdash had in terms of the celebration of Yom Tov. So there were two parts of the celebration. There was the Korban Musaf, which was the Korban on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Then there was the Korban of Yechidim, the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel, Shami Chagiga, Shami Simcha, etc. And the Shri, all the Korbanos that were brought as part of the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. So since we're reliving the Aliyah LeRegel when we daven Musaf, makes sense that during Musaf we should refer to Chol HaMoed as a Mikra Kodesh, because that's the really Mikra Kodesh of it. It's not that the Zman of Chol HaMoed is a Mikra Kodesh, it's the Korbanos dimension of Chol HaMoed that makes it a Mikra Kodesh. So a Korbanos, this idea that bringing of Korbanos really kicks in an Issa Malacha, this is something which not only applies on Erev Pesach Yetzer HaTzeis, that's how our sugya started, but the Rishonim had a Havamina that it may apply even to every day, if not the exerts the cost of yourself to Ganecha. The Shagasai said a taka does apply at least to Rosh Chodesh, Minat Torah, Bizan HaMikdash, and the Mishkas Yaakov said it applies even to Chol HaMoed. So this is one theme that the Akravas HaKarbanos creates in Issa Malacha. So it shouldn't surprise us that many of the parameters of the Issa Malacha and Erev Pesach in the afternoon are very similar to Chol HaMoed. The place can pretty much have that pismon that if it's Mutter Chol HaMoed, it's Mutter and Erev Pesach after Chatzai. So those are pretty much the same guidelines. Because according to what we're saying, it's pretty much the same Malacha, the same Issa. The Issa is all in the day. It's all emanating from the fact that it's a Zmanak Rav HaSekarpin. The fact that it says Bara Korbis HaKorban, not only does it carry with it an Issa Malacha, but maybe it creates a certain status of a Yomtif in the following sense. You know, normally a Yomtif, so there's an Issa Malacha and Yomtif, there's also a Mitzvah Simcha and Yomtif. So does that dimension of Simcha carry over also to these kinds of days? Days which are also days which are days of Korbanos. Is there any degree of Simcha in these days? So Chol HaMoed, we know there is. Chol HaMoed Avada, there is a Mitzvah Simcha. Simcha Min HaTorah and Chol HaMoed. On Rosh Chodesh, is there any degree of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh? So there may be some, according to the Rambam, there may be a bit of Simcha Min HaTorah, a little bit of Rosh Chodesh, because there's Nisa Tainus in Rosh Chodesh. The Pasuk says, concerning the blowing of the Chatzotzros, Uviyom Simchaschem of Mordechem of Rosh Chachechem. So the Torah lumps together the Yom Tovim with the Rosh Chodeshim and the Yimei Simcha. So the Rambam learns that that's a din in a Torah that you have to celebrate Rosh Chodesh, you have to eat on Rosh Chodesh. Doesn't mean you have to wash and bench in Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says the Farish and Brachas, there's no din to wash and bench in Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to have bread in Rosh Chodesh, but you have to eat something, and I'll let have a tainus in Rosh Chodesh. So whereas many folks can say that's only Midrabbanan, the Rambam seems to say that's Min HaTorah. So there is some degree of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. If that's the case, that there's some degree of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh, then the same may also be true on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. That Erev Pesach after Chatzos, they also have a certain dimension of Simcha to it. The question is, how does that Simcha express itself exactly? What exactly is the Simcha Shibo of Erev Pesach, particularly Erev Pesach after Chatzos? So we know even in Adavening, Erev Pesach is different than other Erev Yom Tovim. In Adavening, it expressed itself not in Tachlin. Tachlin had already been out of business for a couple of days, but it expressed itself in terms of Lama Netzeach. So we know the standards for days, in order not to say Lama Netzeach, you got to get a higher nash of Simcha. When Tu B'Av, so you don't say Tachlin, and Tu B'Shvat, you don't say Tachlin, but you still would say Lama Netzeach. In order not to say Lama Netzeach, you got to be up in the big leagues. You got to be a Rosh Chodesh, you got to be a Chanukah, you got to be a Purim, you got to be a real, you got to be a real McCoy. So at Erev Pesach, I'm not mistaken, right? Erev Pesach, we don't say Lama Netzeach either. So that seems to indicate that Erev Pesach is somehow a higher level than a regular Erev Yom Tov. So other things we also don't say in Erev Pesach. We don't say Mizbo Seder for Lagamri, a different reason. It's because we wouldn't have time to eat the Korban Todah in enough time. So my son was ma'orah to me, but he said that the shortest davening of the year, I think, is Erev Pesach. I think he's right. You make it up with the extra time at the end with the Siyam. But in terms of the pure davening itself, I think it's as short as you could possibly get. There's no Tachan, there's no Mizmo Seder, there's no Lamanatech, and there's nothing added. Every other day that has things taken away has other things added. So Erev Pesach was the only thing there. Nope, right? You've got to check the Gavin handbook. I think that's the shortest possible permutation of davening. Doesn't mean it's the fastest davening, depends on the tefillahs, but at least it's the shortest possible things that are said during the course of any given davening. Is there any real expression of this? Is there any real halachic ramifications of the fact that Erev Pesach after Chatzos is a certain degree of Simcha? So there is a big machlekes that came about how Avelus plays out on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. We know that normally Yom Tov cancels the Avelus. The Shaila is, does Erev Pesach have the koach to cancel Avelus? So a regular Yom Tov cancels, and the Shal Shragolim cancels Avelus. If a person was up in the middle of Shiva, Yom Tov comes, Yom Tov cancels the Shiva. A person is in the middle of Shloshim, Yom Tov cancels the Shloshim. So at what point does Yom Tov cancel the Shiva? What point does Yom Tov cancel the Shloshim? So we assume la halacha that the very, very end of the day, it means otot, right before Yom Tov is about to start, that's when the Yom Tov cancels. That's Shaila in the Poskim. That's generally what we assume. There are some Rishonim who say that Yom Tov really only cancels once Yom Tov itself starts. But the only reason why the Mishnah says that if a person is in Shloshim and then Yom Tov comes, you're allowed to shave on Erev Yom Tov, that's because you can't shave on Yom Tov. So what do you want from a guy? It means really you should have to wait till Yom Tov itself to shave. But never, what do you do? So you're allowed to shave an hour before. But the Ikaron, it's really Yom Tov itself that cancels the Avelus. And that's why some Rishonim say that, let's say, other things that you could do on Yom Tov, so you're not allowed to do. So let's say some Rishonim hold if a person is in the middle of Shiva and the Yom Tov cancels the Shiva, he's not allowed to take a shower Erev Yom Tov. He could take a cold shower on Yom Tov, because, you know, leaving out the details of showers on Yom Tov, but a cold shower on Mikra then would be Mutra on Yom Tov. So some Rishonim say, you're not allowed to take a shower on Erev Yom Tov, because you're still in Avelus. The Shiva is only canceled once Yom Tov actually starts. So we don't talk in that way. We talk in that when we say that Yom Tov cancels Avelus, it means it's right at the end, right before. You hop around a little bit on Erev Yom Tov. Whatever you have to do on Erev Yom Tov, you would be permitted to do. That's what there was some folks who have a chumrah that if you're relying on the fact that Yom Tov is canceling Avelus, the Shiva Shloshim, you should really daven mincha beforehand. because you want to do it, if you want to get as close to the end of the day, it means you're gonna go and get a haircut, and then you're gonna go daven mincha afterwards. That's a stira. So you want basically the day's over. If you do daven mincha, everything's done and finished. So when I was in Shloshim and Shavuos came to cancel Shloshim, so I tried to get chaperine. I remember I was the 10th person for the minyan on Erev Shavuos because of Chumud Yachmonim, I was able to make the minyan. So I davened to that minyan, and then whatever I had to do later in the afternoon was permissible to do. But anyway, getting back to the story. So the post grab a shayla, what about Erev Pesach? At Erev Pesach, when does the Avelus end? Is it the same as a regular Yontif, so it only ends Mamash Utta at the very, very end of the day? Or maybe you can argue, no, that Erev Pesach itself has the Kayach to be Mevatel L'Shiva, because Erev Pesach is considered to be a Zman HaSimcha already. There's already something to it. So that's the big machlekes of post grab in Yoredei, at the end of Yoredei, in Hilchas Avelus. So we had, unfortunately, a very tragic application of the Shaila a couple of years ago. Some may remember one of the Bachim in Yeshiva was Niftar the day before Pesach. He was one of them, he was in Mashiach. So he was Niftar the day before Erev Pesach. So the Levaya was Erev Pesach, it was the day of Birchas HaChama. It was 3 years ago. It was the year of Birchas HaChama. So he was the Kavura was Mamash that morning. By the time they finished the Kavura, it was ready after Chatzos. So the Shaila is, now what do you do? Do you have a Avelus or not have a Avelus? So according to those posts, we say that there's no availus in Erev Pesach in the afternoon, so this it's ready like Yom Tov. So you wouldn't have availus now. The only problem is then you would have to have a full Shiva if the Yom Tov is over. That's like burying someone in Chol HaMoed. So if you're going to hold that the availus can't take place in Erev Pesach after Chatzos, then you have Mamash whole week afterwards. On the other hand, if you hold that there is availus right now, so then if you have a very, 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 very short availus, depending on what the goal is, it's a very, very touchy situation. So the post can basically say that you say halacha divrei make of avo. Always very, very lenient in terms of ilchas avelus. So therefore, the post can say, let's say, have a person is sitting shiva before Pesach. It's a third day shiva, and Erev Pesach comes after Chatzos. He's ready. He's out of shiva already. That Erev Pesach we assume has the koyach to be mevatel avelus. But over here, the kula is to say that you should be make avelus. Because the coolest to say, be negative avelus for 5 minutes, or 2 hours, whatever it is, and then you won't have a shiva afterwards. Well, that was the psacha they were given at the time, that they have a right to just observe avelus for those 2 hours, even though normally you wouldn't observe avelus in Erev Pesach in the afternoon, but here, this is a coolest, this ends up to turn out to be a coolest of avelus, because that exempts them from sitting shiva afterwards. Well, I think that was what the psacha at the time. I wasn't consulted about that part of the shiva, but that was the psacha that was given. So a whole part of this is all revolving around this unique status in halacha that Erev Pesach after Chatzos is somewhere in the middle. It's finished to have. So on the one hand there's nisim halacha, and the other hand we're not exactly sure whether there's an idea of simcha or not. It's interesting, there's a minig that the Achronim quote, which is really a minig betos. They write that many people, they're sitting shiva, so on Friday afternoon, it's not in the middle of shiva, it's the third day of shiva, so after 12 o'clock they get it from shiva. They start doing whatever they want to do in the house all afternoon. So the Tishkachiva quotes from a group of folks would say that's wrong. You're not allowed to do that. You have to wait till right before Shabbos, till a few minutes, whatever, a half hour, whatever, now the time you need to get ready for Shabbos, to change your shirt, change your shoes, it takes a couple of minutes. So until then, you have to observe Shiva. So where did this in effect, mistake come from? Where did this minute come from? Do people somehow suspend Shiva at 12 o'clock in the afternoon of Shabbos? So the Rebbe Shechta said he thought it was based on this minig toast came from Erev Pesach. If people saw that in Erev Pesach the Pesach was, so that there's no Shiva, so that's different. Pesach, Shabbos, all the same thing. So that's what he thought, that's where that quote unquote minig came from. And then I think he felt the Shitoso, that's where there's another very, very, very strange minig. It's hard for me to call it a minig toast since it's the minig of Yerushalayim, but it's a very, very difficult minig to understand. That in Yerushalayim, many people, when they come to the coastal for the first time on Friday afternoon, they won't get Kriya. So they'll plan to come Friday afternoon because they don't have to take Kriya. Vishay, what does it say? Don't take Kriya on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. So Rav Shechta thought it was a throwback to Erev Pesach story. He thought, in Erev Pesach, maybe you can argue, maybe there's no Kriya. Maybe Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, is already a Shtikl Yom, maybe there's already a Shtikl Zman Simcha. Which is also very shaky because on Chol HaMoed, most Rishonim say you do take Kriya on Chol HaMoed, even though there's no Avelus. So that's a stamma question. But even Naniach, that there wouldn't be Kriya on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, was definitely Erev Shabbos. So I think he thought that both of these Minhagim are Lishitosim, and they're both not correct. So the problem is that they get stuck in the middle, because if you want to really take Kriya on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, Erev Shabbos in the afternoon in Yerushalayim, if Yerushalayim sees you, you're going to be in big trouble. So you got to... Yeah, you better not get caught tearing a career. I remember just this past year, a couple of weeks ago, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I landed on Friday morning. That's why I drove myself crazy to go straight to Yerushalayim. I went straight to the Kotel because I was afraid. But otherwise, if I start drain, if I come to Rechavia first and start drain around for a few hours, I won't get to the Kotel. I was staying by Netivaya for Shabbos, so I knew that if I'm going to make it to Netivaya at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to be in the shiloh of whether I'm supposed to be a Kriya or not. I don't want to get involved. That's why I went with my suitcase. My mom was from the airport with my suitcase straight to the Kotel first. So the guard at the Kotel was asking me, go explain to him, because as a machlek is a place where you have to clear and everything. I said, Kacha, what did you tell him before? I said, Chabaya, So Rabbi Shekhar thought this was all part of the same Mashita. So it's interesting that there are two different minhagim also which play out, which is this Matzah Shabbos. So you got a guy brought up the Pascha, this one, Matzah Shabbos. Whether you say Vihinoam, this Matzah Shabbos. We know normally you don't say Vihinoam when there's a Yontif during the week. Because we might say Ben Ekarna Alena, so you don't want to. Vihinoam is a bracha for the 6 days of not doing malacha. So when there's a Yontif in the middle of the week, you don't say it. But if Yontif is on Shabbos, Abba, so then you say it because you have a Sheikh Jam Tavoy. So here it's a tricky one. Here you have 5.5 days of malacha this week, and this coming week. You're going to have Sunday through Thursday, and then Friday is only half a day, because Friday you have the chatzos, you're ready to miss the malacha. So should you say, Vinoyim and Nismotay Shabbos? That's already a shayla. What's the difference? Well, those who say the Ribbon HaLom, and after Havdalah, some say there's a tefillah, some people say. So there are two nisos. On a regular day you say Sheish Tzibbe HaMaaseh, and when there's a Yom Tov in the week you say Shimei HaMaaseh. So you have to decide, what are you going to say this Motay Shabbos? What's the minute again, remember? Do we know? They say, okay, good achra. So I saw in the art scroll it says Yesh Omrim. It says Yesh Omrim Shomrim, Yesh Omrim Shein Omrim. So you have to decide. Between now and Matzah Shabbos, you have to decide. I don't remember what we did last time it happened. It happened every couple of years, not so long time. So I don't remember what we did last time. So we'll have to check with them to get by the national. Anyway, so all of these shaylas are all depending and all swirling around this very, very strange category in halacha called Derech Pesach Yeftach Chatzos. So the fact is, Nisim Halacha, the Adad is Nisim Halacha, whether the Zman of Mikdash was Deraisa or the Derabanan, or the Zman of Zeh, all the different permutations. That's all subject to this discussion. Then you have these other side issues about how much of his mansimcha is, which plays out in terms of hilchus aveilus, plays out in terms of certain dimensions of an eschat tzibus. Okay.
Simcha is because of korbanos. So nowadays, on Yom Tov, simcha is only.
According to Tosfos, it's only midrabanan.